It's time for Ask Dr. Daria on RadioMD.com. Do you have a question? Tweet your questions to @ShareCareNow using #ShareCareRadio or email your questions to AskDrDaria@RadioMD.com. Here's Dr. Daria.
Welcome back. Now we have our Ask Dr. Daria segment. So let's dive into your health and wellness questions. The first one was one listener who said, are there foods that can help maintain a high energy level? Now, there's a couple of rules, but really the most important premise here is, again, moderation and having a variety of foods. So I want you sticking to a healthy, balanced diet. You need to include some good fats and protein. That includes good fats like from nuts and olive oil and lean meats, as well as fruits, vegetables, lots of fiber. I want you to drink lots of water. It's very important because becoming dehydrated itself can make you feel very fatigued. And every time you have caffeine, you need to balance that out with an extra cup of water just to neutralize the caffeine. You want to avoid high sugar. Now, sugar can give you a really quick jolt. And I know this. I used to like to have something high sugar in the ER before a shift, but I always found that about 30 minutes later, I would come crashing down. And that's really the truth with any time you have high amounts of sugar. And pay attention to your body. What makes you feel sleepier? Is it a high carb? Is it a really large meal? What works for you to make you feel energized? Try to stick to that. Stick to a really healthy mix of things with plenty of fluids, and you'll find that you're feeling more energized in general. Now, the next question was from one of our users who asked, is it normal for menopausal age women to have urge incontinence and what can I do about it? Now, there are problems with bladder control, and that's a very common issue in menopause. It's due to the decline in the levels of estrogen, which contributes to the health of your urethra and bladder, and in addition to the strength of the muscles that control them. Now, normal bladder function includes muscles that contract when you want to urinate, but in urge incontinence, these muscles sometimes contract when you don't want to, which leads to the leaks. If you've just started having symptoms, talk to your doctor. You may want to, because you'd want to rule out any other causes, such as an infection or even the effect of possibly one of your medications. And once they've ruled that out, they'll talk to you about various therapies. Now, those can range from exercises to small lifestyle changes to eventually medication, but they'll try to help you find out what's best for you. Now, here's another question from one of our listeners, and they said, what warning signs in my infant should make me call a doctor? So as a parent myself, I know that being a parent means you worry. We worry a lot, and we want to know, when should we worry enough to get the pros and get the doctors involved? And health problems with infants are always scary, and they really don't always present the same way as they would in adults. Your child or your infant often can't tell you that it's their stomach or their head, and you just are left with a crying infant. So what are some signs to look for? Signs to include to call your doctor for your infant include a fever. Now, for a child under 3 months, that's anything 100.4 or higher, no matter what, even if they look great. That's always a rule. Under 3 months, temperature of 100.4 or higher, call your doctor. For infants 3 months to 3 years, it's usually temperatures higher than 102, or if they've had a higher fever of 100.4 or higher for 3 or more days. Some other signs: if they're refusing to eat or drink, if they are vomiting so much that they can't even keep down fluids, if they seem lethargic, and that really means that they're just more fatigued, they're not as responsive to you. If they have a rash all over their body, that can be a sign, especially if you press on the rash and it doesn't turn white. So let's look at that. If you have a sunburn and you press on it, it turns white. Very different from if you have a dangerous rash, if you press it, it won't turn white, and that's a sign you need to talk to your doctor. And when you call them, tell them about these findings. If your child's having breathing problems, now that means, are they breathing really rapidly? Are their breaths sort of shallow? Or do they seem to be using a lot of muscles, like those muscles in their clavicle or their neck, and kind of straining to breathe, or violent coughing with difficulty breathing before or after? All of those are signs of breathing problems. If they have a seizure, again, you would need to talk to your doctor. Biggest rule I always tell every parent is your gut. What is your gut telling you about your child? If something about your child just doesn't look right, call your doctor. No one knows your baby better than you, and I have never been upset by the fact that a mom comes in and said, they just didn't look right, I needed some advice. Nobody ever minds that, and that's the number one reason. So parents, listen to your gut. You know the best. Our next listener said, I am sleepy all the time. How can I find out if I have a sleep disorder? Now, there are a number of sleep disorders that can cause daytime sleepiness. And so many of us have daytime fatigue due to a variety of different things. It's really a problem with many people. But some conditions include narcolepsy, insomnia, or sleep apnea. But before you resort to testing or medication, I want you to first try some lifestyle changes, because in today's world with our tablets and our smartphones and our schedules and TV late at night, it's really easy for our body's routines to be caught off guard and our sleep starts suffering. So I want you to try going to bed and getting up at the same time every day, avoiding significant amounts of alcohol, especially at night, and especially late at night, limiting your caffeine to before noon, because even if it's somewhat out of your system, there still could be a little bit of caffeine in your system. And really try to get in some exercise a few days a week, but not right before bed, because that could keep you up as well. And again, lastly, keep the TV and devices out of the bedroom. These have been shown in studies to affect sleep for parents and kids alike. That blue light really sets off your body's melatonin release, and it causes your body not to release melatonin, and it disrupts your sleep. Also, I want you to keep a sleep log when you're doing that. If you do these things and they don't seem to help, you can take this log into your physician or a sleep counselor, and that now they'll have an enormous amount of information on you and what you've tried. And so they may have you start doing some evaluations. They may decide that you need a sleep study, in which you sleep in a sleep lab overnight, and they hook various machines to your body and really monitor your sleep, monitor your vital signs, see if you have conditions such as sleep apnea and how quickly you fall asleep, and we'll be able to get to the bottom of it. But first, do the lifestyle changes and monitor it, because that data will be exceptionally helpful when you do go see that sleep specialist if you have to. Now, another question. I know grandma always said, get away from the TV. You're too close up. You're going to ruin your eyes. Was that true? And our little myth busters here. It is not harmful to your eyes to sit close to the TV now. Now, this theory actually came from those old TVs that you may have seen that grandma may have had that had those ray tubes in them that emitted light. And it wasn't known how that cathode radiation could affect your eyes. Well, that doesn't exist with today's flat screen TVs. So while you can get strain from looking at any screen for too long, whether it's your TV, your iPhone, your iPad, it's not so much about the distance, but the length of time of having your eyes focused on the same point for too long. Another quick question I have to say is, why are you having to sit so close to the TV? Let's just look at that for a second. If it's because you can't see it as well without sitting close to it, you may need to have your vision checked anyway, in which case it's not the culprit that's a TV, but it may be a sign of a problem. Our next listener said, you know, can diabetes that is out of control cause dry skin? Now, it's an interesting fact that diabetes itself doesn't so much cause dry skin, but elevated blood glucose levels cause you to lose fluid, leading to overall dehydration. So keeping your blood sugar in check can prevent this. So control your diabetes and you can control that dry skin. All right, anybody who has flown recently in the airport or been to other public places can wonder, how can I avoid getting germs in public bathrooms? And sometimes those public bathrooms can be so gross. So first off, what can you catch? It is a myth that you can catch STDs from toilets. That's going to be extremely rare, if at all possible. But you can get other conditions such as hepatitis A, which causes gastrointestinal complaints, salmonella. You can catch a cold and flu. And surprisingly, the germiest places include the sink handle, the toilet handle, and of course the floor. So first, avoid getting the germs in the first place. Do some common sense things. Flush the toilet with your foot. Use a clean toilet tissue if you need to use the bin, and cover the toilet. Then, of course, wash your hands for 17 seconds with friction, water, and sing the song Happy Birthday twice. Then I want you to use a paper towel to turn off the sink, because dirty hands turned it on. You don't want to retouch it. And reuse that towel to open the door if you have to pull it open. Lastly, one of our listeners had said, is eating before going to bed bad for me? So, really quickly, I recommend against eating too much at night, because it can give you more calories, you're going to be less likely to pay attention to what you eat, and it could disrupt your sleep. So I would avoid it. And that's all the time we have for today. I'll be back next week to answer more of your questions. And in the meantime, feel free to tweet your health questions to our Twitter at ShareCareNow using the hashtag ShareCareRadio. Question could get answered on the air. You can also follow me on Twitter for breaking health news at Dr. Daria. Or check out my Facebook page, Dr. Daria Long Gillespie. This is Dr. Daria, and you're listening to Share Care Radio on Radio MD, where we help you be your healthiest you. Thanks for listening, and stay well.